Now stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. The wake-up call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Now here's your host, Rick Moore.
And good morning, everybody. Thank you so much for being here with us today, because we're talking about food. I know a lot about food, but only because I like to eat. We're actually talking with food, with folks who know how to make it, what to do with it, how to present it. Our guest today, we have Chef Patrick Carroll from Three Notched. We have Chef Matthew Bousquet from The Clifton, Chef Jabari Wadlington from Farm Bell Kitchen, and the general manager, Will Curley from Brasserie Sasson. Did I get all that correct?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yep. We're going to be talking about food, food questions, and restaurant week. So, you know, I got all kinds of questions. Restaurant week, by the way, Saturday, January 19th through Saturday, January 26th. We'll go through the facts throughout the hour. $29 or $39. It doesn't include drinks and taxes and tips. Charlottesville, one of the big cities to get restaurant week started across the country. $1 of your purchase goes to Blue Ridge Area Food Bank with the benefits. Make sure to make your reservations. You can go on to Seville, pick up a copy of the January 16th issue and see the menus. All four restaurants participating, correct?
That's correct.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
I'd like to know everybody's... I'd like to know one item on your menu for restaurant week. Jabari, why don't you start us out at Farm Bell Kitchen?
All right. First off, our restaurant is new Southern cuisine, so we tend to specialize in a new type of Southern food that takes it down to its roots. So one of the good dishes that would be excellent to try out for restaurant week, we did our own twist on Jamaican curry. This time we used a local lamb and with a side of cocoa bread. Very cool, very clean dish. A little bit of spice to it. You'll enjoy it.
Will, why don't you talk to us about what's going on at Brasserie?
Yeah, we are a French-Belgian restaurant. So for restaurant week, we're doing a very updated take on the classic coq au vin, the chicken braised in red wine. We're doing actually with a marble potato mash that actually has the coq au vin sauce in it, so you get all the flavor coming from all directions.
So
Chef Patrick?
At Three Notch Brewing Company, man, that's a tough question. We have a lot of different variety of dishes right now, especially for the restaurant week menu. All of our dishes are essentially an American craft brewery with our dishes infused with our beers and inspired from the beers. So right now, I would say where my pick would be our braised short ribs from local Seven Hills Beef. With, you know, just lots of fresh seasonal vegetables and finishing with demi-glace, roasted pearl onions, and roasted broccolini. But, I mean, they also have our kids selection with our kids restaurant week menu. So it's really hard to say, like, what the best dish or what my favorite dish would be.
It's all right. I was only asking for one. People can check out the menu.
There's so many. You have to really hit all these restaurants up multiple days, honestly. But yeah.
So at the Clifton, I'm going to do as much, you know, seasonal stuff as we can. So, you know, working on some Arctic char, Manila clams, bergamot parsnip, Earl Grey broth, and some salmon roe.
And again, we are talking with Chef Matthew from Clifton. We also have folks here representing Three Notched, Farm Bell Kitchen, and Brasserie Sasson. And that's just one item, one part of the menu that we're talking about from Restaurant Week, which does begin next Saturday, this upcoming Saturday. So pick up the menu. You can see everybody's menu. There are other restaurants that you can go check out. And we'll toss a few out there throughout the week. But these are the four that have taken time to come out to Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. So we'll give them the big and regular notifications throughout the hour today. But we also want to talk about food. We want to talk about, I've got some food questions here that friends and family throughout the hour, and hopefully some other folks can get some help. So I want to know, as we talk about food again with Chef Patrick, Chef Matthew, Chef Jabari, and with Will Curley. Will, by the way, have you ever been a chef? How did you get to be general manager of a restaurant? What is your food background?
I am a mid-20s career changer. I worked an office job in Washington, D.C. Until I was 25. I moved halfway across the country to Chicago to learn how to run restaurants. I started busing tables in a very nice, very new Italian restaurant that was part of a larger restaurant group, and was there for years and wound up running the place. And my wife and I moved back to the East Coast, where we're both from, and I got on board with 10 Course Hospitality and met Will Ritchie and started doing Brasserie Saison about 2 years ago.
Amazing. Does your wife work in restaurants?
My wife's the general manager and sommelier at Tavola.
Say, so usually you have to both be in the restaurants, or the other partner says, are you ever going to have a weekend off? Will you please stop working 12-hour work days? So it's good to know that both of you are involved.
Well, in the restaurant industry, you know you've made it when you have Sundays and Mondays off.
Oh, I'm sure the other three gentlemen in this place, in this room, are going, what is that all about? Again, Brasserie Saison, the Clifton, Three Notched, and Farm Bell Kitchen here with us on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call as we talk about food, have some food questions, and we talk about the winter part of 2019 Restaurant Week. A big thanks to Anna Harrison at Sivo Weekly for helping bring everybody together this year. Gentlemen, I'd like to know your favorite spice to cook with and why. So who wants to start? Chef Jabari, you've got your hand on the microphone.
I would have to say ginger. It's one of my favorite spices to use, fresh or dry. It's used in a lot of North African food, Thai, Jamaican, and I tend to try to introduce that into a lot of savory dishes as well as desserts too. So it always adds a nice little essence and some flavor, a nice little spice to it. It has a little sweetness to it, and as well as some medicinal purposes, as well as helps with the digestive system too. So ginger would definitely be one of my top spices that I use.
Salt. Salt goes in everything. It belongs in everything, and it changes everything. It's for curing, it's for, you know, seasoning, it's you don't really go much beyond that with cooking without salt.
That's actually an interesting question. Definitely salt. It also depends on what kind of cuisine I'm cooking with at the time, because it could be a variety of anything, honestly. But I really also love using pink peppercorns. I don't think a spice that's used too often. It adds a nice little sweetness to whatever dish. I've used it in desserts and just basic cooking and finishing steaks and stuff, but that'd be my answer.
Well, I realize that you're not actually in the kitchen cooking, but is there a spice that Brasserie Saison has become known for because of the modern European fare that the restaurant does a lot with?
For us, it's white pepper. We tend to introduce that in a lot of our dishes, and it lacks a little bit of the intensity of black pepper, but it adds a subtle some subtle flavors, and it provides a nice punchy backbone, and really fleshes and rounds things out for a lot of our dishes.
about 10 minutes after the hour here. Sunday morning wake-up call talking about food is the upcoming restaurant week with our guest today, Chef Patrick Carroll from Three Notched, working a lot with locally sourced foods and beer-infused dishes. We have Chef Jabari Wadlington, new Southern cuisine, blending traditional ingredients with modern culinary techniques. We have Chef Matthew Bousquet from the Clifton, seasonal menus showcasing local ingredients, and General Manager Will Curley from Brasserie Sasson, modern European fare and house brewed beer. Thanks all of you for coming. Again, we are talking about Restaurant Week. Don't forget, it starts on Saturday, January 19th. It goes through January 26th. You can buy a $29 or a $39 purchase for a three-course meal. That does not include the drinks, tax, or the tips. But $1 of your purchase goes to Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. Reservations are suggested, first come, first serve. And you can check out the menus for all the restaurants that are participating. You can go to SevilleRestaurantWeek.com or the January 16th issue of Seville Weekly. You can check out all the menus there. Some of the other restaurants that are participating, aside from the four here today, include Maya and Melting Pot, Red Pump Kitchen, the Shabin, and the Whiskey Jar, as well as a few others that we'll mention throughout the hour. I got a few questions here that I'll throw out to the folks in front of me. We'll do that throughout the hour today. Here's a tricky one. I'm just going to toss out there. Do you ever order delivery pizza? This comes from David. And wherever you eat your pizza, what are your favorite toppings? I'll start with Chef Patrick.
It has definitely been a while since I've ordered delivery pizza, I'll be honest. And it's hard for me to say what delivery pizza would be my favorite.
Not which delivery pizza is your favorite. What toppings on pizza are your favorite, wherever you eat your pizza?
Pepperoni, sausage, extra cheese, pretty basic. I don't go too crazy with my toppings.
I mean, let's face it, Charlottesville has some pretty awesome in-house pizza places. So pepperoni, sausage, and extra cheese is your favorite pizza.
My favorite, yeah.
All right. Matthew, slide up and answer this.
I have a 10-year-old, so it does frequently hit the house. The app is in my wife's phone, absolutely. I don't get a whole lot of choices. I'm usually, rolling into the cold box on top of the stove. But it does make an appearance at the house, yes.
How about you, Jabari?
Yeah, we tend to order it a lot at the house. Got two kids. So got a toddler is going on 2 and a 6-year-old. So if I get the chance to be able to pick the toppings, it's usually going to be bacon, chicken, or mushrooms for sure.
So, David, if you're listening, sounds like that it's not so much – it has a lot to do not so much with the chef – has a lot to do with the family of the chef as to whether or not it comes from the delivery driver. All right. I appreciate that. Here's actually one that comes has more to do with actual chef and in the kitchen. It comes from Lynn. When baking, most recipes don't say which size egg to use. Should I typically buy large or extra large? And what do I do if I purchased my eggs at the city market and got some smaller ones? Who wants to take this on?
Use grams.
Usually, I tend to always use large eggs. Some recipes will ask for grams or ounces of the amount of eggs you use. I can't tell you off the head how much one egg usually weighs in ounces, so usually there's a train of thought that you usually use for that. But usually I don't pay too much concern with that. But if you stick with the large, most of the time when they build those recipes, it's usually with a large egg. And if you use a smaller egg, I would probably add another egg to it.
Are you guys bakers? Are you, I mean, what is your favorite part of being in the kitchen? Are you, you know, do you meats, proteins, side dishes, baking, you know, where do you get your most excitement from cooking and creating?
I think as an executive chef, you have to be a little bit of everything, be experienced with everything. But for me, being in the kitchen, what excites me is really working with my team and developing them, honestly. But
I started off baking as a kid. Did a couple of competitions in high school with baking competitions. But I would say baking's one of the fun parts of the kitchen. It makes you a little bit versatile as a chef. Especially in restaurants, if you're able to develop desserts without the need of a pastry chef. So I think the versatility of the kitchen and our cuisine and our techniques, you can't really put it all on one. You kind of have to learn all aspects, whether it's proteins, seafood, ethnic types of food, spices, curing, charcuterie, all that. So I wouldn't ever put it on one thing.
I would say I hate baking. But as you sort of get older in the kitchen, you get more comfortable. It's probably the most relaxing for me because it is following basic someone else's recipe. You don't create something as a baker. You don't just sort of just pull something out. You're definitely pulling from someone else's experience. And so it kind of releases you from, you know, you get at some point in your day to have something routine in front of you when you're doing a biscuit or you're doing bread or something that sort of just automatically says, okay, well, you can't divert from this. You just sort of follow what's in front of you. And that it's find it more relaxing and a little more just sort of, you know, you have an end goal rather than just creating a dish.
Well, I'm curious, not being the chef at Brasserie Sazon, I think for many places, every restaurant has its specialties or what they're well known for. What would you say your restaurant has as its specialty? Is it its baking? Should I go there for the dessert? Should I go there for the seafood? What should I go for?
I would say two things for us. One is a little sneaky and one is more well-known. For us, the more well-known thing, the thing that we are mostly most popular for are our mussels. You know, we're a Belgian place. We do huge pots of mussels, three different kinds of styles, sometimes four if we've got a special going. Great Prince Edward Island mussels, and that's what we've really made a reputation for ourselves with. The other thing that maybe not a lot of people know is our ice creams, our gelatos, and our sorbets. We've got a really creative team in the kitchen that just gets wild ideas and makes the coolest stuff. We made habanero gelato the other day that was killer, so spicy but so delicious. And just every gelato that we come up seems to work. Every sorbet that we make seems to work, and it works well. It's something that we should be more known for. It's a point of pride for us. But the just little ice creams, little scoops of ice creams are one of the things that I think we should be most proud of and be most talking about at Brasserie.
Are any of those on the Restaurant Weekly menu?
You're offered your choice of scoops of whatever gelato or sorbet that our chefs have come up with that week or that day even. But yes, they're available on the Restaurant Week menu.
All right. 20 minutes after the hour, We'll be right back with our guests today as we talk about food. We have some food questions, and we discuss Restaurant Week with General Manager Will Curley from Brasserie Saison, Chef Matthew Bousquet from the Clifton, Chef Patrick Carroll from Three Notched, and Chef Jabari Wadlington from Farm Bell Kitchen. Hang tight. And we're back in action talking about all kinds of things related to Restaurant Week and food with our guests from four of the key restaurants participating in the January 2019 Restaurant Week here in Charlottesville. Don't forget, January 19th through January 26th here in Charlottesville. There's a variety of restaurants participating: Bizou, Bonefish Grill, C&O Restaurant, Commonwealth Sky Bar. But the four you want to pay attention to here today: Brasserie Saison, Farm Bell Kitchen, Three Notched, and the Clifton. You can find their menus in the January 16th issue at Seaville. You can go to SeavilleRestaurantWeek.com and get everybody's full menu. But we have chefs and general managers here in the studio today talking about what's going on. We'll get a few more items and foods that might be available coming up. We got some to start the hour. If you're listening to the podcast, go back, check it out. Get your tongue all tasty. Gentlemen, I'm curious. I have a lot of experience in my past history of going through the kitchen to see what was going on. I'm curious as to what your pet peeves are about the kitchen, other than pick this plate up. Whose plate is this? It's been sitting here for 30 seconds. Somebody come get this plate. What's your pet peeve? Chef Jabari?
I would have to say, first and foremost, not tasting your food before it goes out. Making sure we make a lot of our sauces to order, pan sauces. And if you're not seasoning and you're just putting it together and not tasting it and you're putting it out and you think it tastes fine but you haven't even tasted it, that's a high boiling point for me. Taste everything and make sure you're seasoning your food. Salt, pepper are your friend.
So many answers are anywhere from not labeling and dating product you put in the cooler to not having your mise en place set up on the line when service time comes. And I think it even comes back to what Chef was just saying about tasting your food. If you're not set up for success, you don't have your mise en place ready, you will fail all day long, and you will hear it from me. So just be ready.
I don't know how many, pet peeves. They sort of come and go as the day goes on. They are certainly, as interchangeable as dishwashers most of the time. But, yeah, I don't like washing dishes, doing a lot of that lately. Obviously, not seasoning is a huge thing. Cleanliness, not showing up to work is a big thing. But, it's like one of my personal ones, and it was just the way I was sort of trained, is I don't like to be called chef. It drives me nuts. I'm standing right next to you, working with you. You can, just address me like I'm addressing you. So, but that's just the way I was trained. So,
I'm interested in seeing it from the other side of the line. So...
I spend a fair amount of time with our executive chef, and the things that everybody said so far, the organization, the cleanliness, the making sure your dish team shows up to work, are all important. But as we were talking about this, I was thinking, I do a fair amount of hiring in tandem with our executive chef, Trey Petard. One of the things that's come up in the past couple of years is this idea that young cooks have that they can step into a kitchen and be a chef right away. This idea, and I don't know where it came from, what do you want to learn with our restaurant? What do you want to learn with our group? I want to learn food cost and butchery. How are those together? How are you thinking that you've cooked for a year that you can do this? I paid my dues. Everybody in this room's paid their dues. Young chefs, young cooks have to pay their dues. They have to learn stocks. They have to learn sauces before they can learn butchery or food costing or how to run a restaurant. this idea of the Food Network and everything, all the food media has put some real weird ideas in people's heads about how far they can get in a short amount of time in a kitchen.
I love to tell this story. I'll try and tell it quickly about a friend of mine who went off to culinary school, and the first thing they want to teach you was cleanliness. And so the group of 8 or 10 was told, today we'll clean the kitchen, and if you clean it properly, tomorrow we'll start cooking. They leave them to clean the kitchen, and they spend 10 hours cleaning the kitchen, and the next day the gentleman walks in, and the first thing he does is he breaks out his ladder. He goes up, he takes the cover off the light bulb, takes his white glove and runs it around the light bulb and finds dust and says, clean it again, and he leaves. And so that's how they learned that cleaning the kitchen is the most important thing that you must do if you're going to be the chef in the kitchen. I love that. Anyway, here we are again with Jabari Wadlington and Patrick Carroll and Matthew Bousquet, the chefs at Farm Bell Kitchen, Three Notch, and the Clifton. And we have General Manager Will Curley from Brasserie Sazon as we talk about food and Restaurant Week, which begins January 19th through January 26th. $29 or $39 for three-course meals, where $1 of your purchase goes to the Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. Gentlemen, I have a question here from, speaking of cleanliness, let's take Jamie's question. She sent me this. We have someone visiting in a few weeks who has an allergy to milk. I'm aware of this and don't plan to make anything with milk as an ingredient, but I had my six-year-old tell me that at school they teach you you're supposed to give the kitchen, from dishes to cabinets, a special washing before someone with an allergy comes over.
Well, we're constantly cleaning the kitchen, so I wouldn't say that in the middle of service when someone says they have a dairy or gluten allergy. We, all right, everybody stop. Stop what you're doing. Stop what you're doing and clean head to toe. We have an allergy coming in. Not at all. But we do make sure that the whatever dish we're making at Three Notches is safe for the guests to eat. We use maybe change it a little bit using a clean saute pan versus putting on a grill that has 50 items cooking on it at the current moment. You definitely have to be. You have to be very careful because you don't want to get anyone sick. You don't want to kill anybody. Honestly, you don't want to kill anybody. But you don't stop mid service and break down and close it all for one gluten allergy or dairy allergy.
There are so many allergies out there now that you just are. You don't even know where they're coming from half the time. It's very confusing. I mean, you run through every recipe that you have on the menu like 5 times to figure out what's in everything. It gets a little overwhelming at times, but the allergy thing is like you're not breaking down the kitchen, and you obviously don't want them in the kitchen anyway if they are saying that they're sensitive to things. But it is a very difficult task at these days. It's just because the amount of allergies are just seem tenfold of what they were when we were coming up in the business.
See, I definitely have to agree with the two gentlemen next to me and to the left of me. The allergies, it's become extremely present in this today and now. So we always try to have at least one cutting board, one saute pan, and a whisk or a tongs set aside for if that happens for the severe ones. There'll be some nights in the middle of the rush we'll get somebody walk in with an index card with 15, 20 different allergies. If I can only tell you what we really say about that, but it's a little difficult.
Sure, it's a challenge.
Very difficult for a lot of those diets and allergies to be able to make the food that we make and still be able to make sure they have an enjoyable experience. Because a lot of times someone with an allergy might come into the restaurant with a group of 15 people, and they're already embarrassed already because they have these allergies. And then we want to be able to make sure that they're able to not walk out in a gurney. So we just have we really do pay a lot of attention, a lot of attention on allergies, and it's difficult, but we do our best.
Well, what do you do at your restaurant? I mean, because again, what we have here is we have three gentlemen from the chef side, and then you from the, I don't know if I'm going to say this appropriately, but from the customer service side, you've got your tie on, I'm assuming, out front from the person who first sees the index card, or the wait staff brings the index card up to you and says,
Well, it's training for us. It's asking and it's training. My team asks every single guest, do you have any allergies or dietary restrictions? And the conversation starts there. And then it starts with training. My staff have a constantly updated document that lists all of our dishes, all of our allergies, all of our preparation methods, so that even before they come back to the kitchen to confirm with our chef what they can have or what they can't have, my staff's already working to craft a memorable experience for the guest. Simply by asking and by virtue of them being trained accurately and appropriately to respond to these allergy questions. It may be that cross-contamination is not an issue. If a grill grills a piece of bread, somebody can eat a steak that was cooked on the grill. These are questions that we have to ask. These are things that we work into our service and into the guest experience in the restaurant. But it starts with asking for us.
But so if I'm reading Jamie's question correctly, they teach you're supposed to give the kitchen from dishes to cabinets a special washing before someone with an allergy comes over. Now, this is at home. So if she has company coming over, and I'm assuming that she's probably already doing her dishes in the dishwasher, is she supposed to take all her dishes out and wipe down the inside of her cabinets?
No.
Not at all.
All right. There you go, Jamie. Hopefully you're listening to this and have gotten your answer. Okay. So, guys, cake or pie, people? What's your preference?
I had pie at my wedding.
Cake.
Cake.
Yeah, cake.
Oh, three cakes, one pie. So let's go through this again. Your favorite cake or pie?
Pecan pie.
That's a hard one. I'll do chocolate cake.
I'll go with a white cake with raspberry filling and a almond buttercream is by far my favorite.
Sounds like you're not making it.
That's correct. I am not making that cake, which also makes it probably one of the better things because you're not making it. You're just enjoying it at that point.
I'll just go with the devil's food.
Again, here we're talking about food and restaurant week with our guest today. Enjoying the cake that somebody else made, Chef Patrick Carroll from Three Notched, the pecan pie, General Manager Will Curley from Brasserie Sassone, the chocolate cake, Chef Jabari Wadlington from Farm Bell Kitchen, and that devil's food cake is Chef Matthew Bousquet from the Clifton. Any of you have one other place? We can throw a few of the other ones out. Bang, Burton's. Who else haven't I mentioned here? Rock Salt, Zocalo, a few of the other places that haven't been mentioned here also in participating in Restaurant Week. Do any of you have maybe one other place that if you got a day off that you might want to go visit during Restaurant Week?
Yeah, one of the other restaurants in the 10-course hospitality family is the Bebedero, which does modern Mexican cuisine and has just the most impressive list of mezcals, I think, in the entire state of Virginia. They're participating in Restaurant Week, and their food is delicious.
Anybody else? Because I realize everybody else is a singular place, right? Nobody else has... Anybody else that you can...
I'll have to say Maya, right down the street from us. They specialize in that good home-style southern soul food. A little different from us, but Chef Christian, he does a really good job over there. I would definitely recommend that place, especially since Muhammad Ali ate there. So.
I don't really get out much at all. But I don't even know if they're participating. But if I do, I'll run to Stanton and go to the Shack, you know, pretty much any time I can. So
yep.
Ian does a great job.
So if they're not participating, they should participate.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
My quick short answer is it's honestly I haven't really thought about it either. I've been more focused on the actual chaos that's going to come with Restaurant Week and the. But being that I have a 2-year-old who loses his mind if he has to sit for more than a minute, we have to kind of go to a family fun place. So, I really don't have an answer off that. Look into that. But
all right. Again, 37 minutes after the hours, we talk about food with food questions and Restaurant Week here with representatives from Brasserie Sazon, Three Notched, the Clifton, and Farm Bell Kitchen here on Sunday Morning Wake Up Call. I'm going to throw out another question for you. Here's one from Barry. Have you ever had one of the unusual meats like moose or emu or elk, and what did you think of it? How did you have it prepared?
I had emu tenderloin. Actually, it was part of a competition I was doing when I was much younger. Very light, very healthy, light and low in fat, but it was good. It was a little bit gamey for my taste, but I think if I had modified it as a chef to add some more flavors to it, I think it would have been perfect, but it was interesting, to say the least.
I don't know if we've had elk and stuff when I was in Colorado, and that just, you know, it just sort of tastes like meat, but the inner parts are like kind of my favorite things to cook and eat. More of the offals, the sweetbreads and the foie gras and the things that, you know, you don't think of, you know, they're not necessarily, you know, slaying a polar bear and having that, but it's more of just the stuff that people don't eat much is, you know, probably the thing I enjoy the most.
I would have to say I've had elk tenderloin. It's pretty nice. It reminds me of venison. It's just a little heavier. Snapping turtle. We get that a lot in the South, Louisiana. Rattlesnake. And they all taste pretty good. Snapping turtle is a good, if you ever had a good turtle soup, is pretty nice. Nice with a little bit of sherry on the side. Really good.
Do you offer that at Farm Bell Kitchen?
I actually put the snapping turtle on our rough draft menu, and we had a large discussion about it. So we have not introduced it onto our menu, but it will get on that menu for sure.
I've had black bear. Grew up in Pennsylvania in a fairly rural area with a big hunting population. So black bear is fatty, oily, peppery, delicious.
All right, interesting. There you go, Barry. So we are talking about food with some food questions for the upcoming Restaurant Week. It does start on Saturday, January 19th through the 26th. Make sure to call the restaurants that you want to see, you want to visit, you want to taste. Set up your reservations. It is first come, first serve. $1 of your purchase goes to Blue Ridge Area Food Bank benefits. There you go. We'll take our next break. We'll come back for the last 20 minutes, ask some questions to our guests, Will Curley, Matthew Bousquet, Patrick Carroll, Jabari Wadlington. Be right back. All right, back in action with our guests today as we talk about Restaurant Week. Gentlemen, sort of the general public, anyway, you know, our doctors tell us, eat more produce. But here we are in January. Fresh produce, seasonal produce. I'd like to talk about seasonal produce for a bit because I'd like to know what you're using on the menu as fresh seasonal produce. And I'd like to talk about whether or not now that we're a more global world and having things brought to us, whether or not we're actually eating good, healthy produce just because it is coming from around the world. Is that truly good produce because it's not being picked from the farm down the street?
That's a good question. I could talk about produce for hours, whether it's talking about local produce versus supporting your local farms. Charlottesville, Albemarle County as a whole does a really good job. They have a lot of farms around here. Local food hub, since I moved into the area, has helped me out trying to get in touch with a lot of the local farms. And some of the local farms also will do their own produce on the side. Wayside Produce, they've helped us out a lot. We get a lot of local syrups. Edwards Farm. For our Restaurant Week menu, we introduce pickled black radishes from another local farm from out here. I definitely would say staying local is good. The problem is it's not budget friendly for everybody. A lot of times, if my menu's really local focused, a lot of people walking in the door won't understand why my prices are so high. Versus if I were getting produce from California or Florida, some of the big states that produce majority of our produce, Mexico, Chile, people aren't going to understand that. So I think people understanding that there is a price difference when it comes to local produce, is it healthier for you? Yes. You also have to know your farmers, going to the farmer's market, knowing if they use pesticides, how are they dealing with their pests. And there are some organic guidelines that the farmers have to use when it comes to organic produce, but at the same time, do you want to spend the money for the organic produce? So they still have the same nutrients. It's what's surrounded around that produce. Like the chemicals and the pesticides that make it not as healthy. So I wouldn't say an apple from Carter's Mountain is not as tasty as an apple from Washington State. It's just as good.
Our menu right now is like a lot of root vegetables, stuff that, is winter, since obviously the season we're in. I have found the produce here, and I'm from Northern California, and it's wine country, so there's a plot of dirt, it's got grapes on it. But the produce here has been so much better than the stuff that I would have, back home, just because it does feel like you have more people, starting little farms and having the interest in growing a turnip or growing the mustards or, something just sort of, the variety has been great. And they're also interested in just planting new stuff. I mean, this last year, I will say, was probably the worst local produce scene that I've seen in a long time just because of all the rain. But it's still, the local farmers are just terrific from, Autumn Olive to Reunion to all the Wayside I've used before. They're great, but it's just the interest level and the people doing it correctly is to me is just it's just magic for food here.
Yeah, it's a tough question, especially right now. I'm from upstate New York, and we would eat canned beets and rutabagas 9 months out of the year because you just didn't have such a wonderful produce scene like we have out here in Charlottesville. And there's lots of great farmers, foragers, and you know, just hitting up your farmer's market. At Three Notch, we use hydroponic greens from Skylar Greens for all of our salads. So luckily, when there's when the weather's not cooperating very well, we can get those fresh greens on our menu. We also use Babylon micro farms that you can actually grow your own micro greens, which is pretty cool for a chef, being that micro greens can be typically expensive, but it's not like a main plate. But still, they're out of Charlottesville. But I would say try to stay as local as possible. Get to know your farmers at the farmers market. Buying produce from across the United States or the world helps out that community, but it doesn't really help out our community in Charlottesville. And it's not also good for the environment shipping green strawberries or green tomatoes from Mexico up here. So stick with the season and stick with the local produce.
Well, you've got... your chef, what's going on in the back at Brasserie Sazon? Because I would assume that the goal is to use as local as possible, but when you're trying to do European style foods, that there's only so much you can do.
Sauerkraut's for, right? but honestly, we do a lot of root vegetables. We do, you know, we are cooking what they're cooking in Europe in the winter. We're doing root vegetables. We're doing stews. And listen, everybody has a green salad on their menu. So you either get it hydroponic or you deal with it. And we want to use as local as possible. We want to be as sustainable as possible. But at the end of the day, you got to have salad on the menu. You know, you got to have a green salad on the menu. You've got to get those greens from somewhere. But we are doing sauerkrauts. We are doing root vegetables. And a lot of those are local. And we're bringing those in and continuing those relationships with those farmers. But for us, it's you'll never see a tomato on the menu in the winter. But again, you've got to have a green salad and you've got to put out food that people will buy and people will show up to eat. So there's a little bit of a give, you know, a little bit of a push and pull as far as going local goes. You know, as we're talking about, the cost is significant. It's very important to not turn guests away with menu prices, and you've got to give a little bit in some places. You know, you might have to bring something in that's a little bit of a lower price point so that you bring guests in to see your menu and see the hard work that you're putting in and see the other local products that you're providing.
Does anybody know whether it's in Charlottesville or whether it's something that you're buying outside of the area, whether or not the neighboring farm is using a pesticide that may be blowing on to the farm that you're purchasing from?
I've heard that statement a lot recently, especially since we had a lot of those outbreaks with all these other farms. A lot of times you get a lot of contamination from someone that's outside of it. And the big debate with the honeybees and all that stuff, you know, someone's using pesticides on the other side and the hives over here. It affects it in a way, but I don't think it affects it to that much of that degree. And that's also, you got to talk to your farmers. A lot of the farmers, they know who their neighbors are. You know, so they will probably try and make sure that they aren't getting into their product at the same time. So I think farmers appreciate their business and try to be responsible. So I would definitely think that they're going to make sure nothing's getting on their product. But it happens.
Honestly, it's never crossed my mind. Never even thinking about some other farmer's sort of stuff flying on something else. It's well beyond my it's like not even in my wheelhouse to think about what the neighbor's doing. So
yeah, that's interesting. I don't think I've ever thought of that either, but I also would admit that I don't think any farmer would say, yeah, you should buy my produce, my products, but just so you know, the guy next to me is blowing all these nasty chemicals on it, so, you know, you might die if you eat it. But I at the end of the day, wash your produce very well. Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah, definitely wash your produce very well.
All right. Again, our guest today, Patrick Carroll, who's the chef at Three Notched, Jabari Wadlington, chef from Farm Bell Kitchen, Matthew Bousquet, chef at the Clifton, and general manager Will Curley from Brasserie Sassone, 51 minutes after the hour. Let me go back and throw out a few of these questions that I have. Tony writes and says, we now have my grandmother's cast iron skillets. They were used a lot when she was in the kitchen for many different things, from sweet to savory, but they haven't been used in a couple of years and need some care. I'd like us to get them back in action, but I'm not sure of the best way other than what I read in Google.
So cast iron skillets, you know, I've used them in many restaurants, and they're great. They pretty much last forever as long as you take care of them. But you really want to season them, a little bit of oil, a little bit of salt, over a hot burner, and just scrub them out and scrub them down and just take care of them, really. They're pretty easy to last forever if you take good care of it.
Chef Jabari, I have this vision of the being used in Farm Bell. I don't know if I'm just imagining that, but using them in Southern style food is where I grew up in sort of a Southern extended family, yeah. And so all sides of my family have cast iron skillets. Do you use them at Farm Bell?
We actually serve two dishes and our cast iron crock pots, actually. Every time you come in for dinner, you get our side of cornbread that is baked to order in one of our master ovens. It's a really, really, really hot oven, and we bake cornbread in it. We also serve our bison meatloaf, which is served with a potato pavé on the bottom with a Gruyere fondue and a roasted tomato ragu with a thyme gremolata, and that's served in a cast iron pot as well.
Anybody else serve anything with a cast iron skillet or use a cast iron skillet in your kitchen today? Well, I'm just giving everybody a chance to mention some item on your menu. All right, here's a question from Kathy. I'd like to teach my high school son a few cooking things over the next few years so that he's got some basic skills before he goes off to college. Please give me a basic starter set to work with someone who currently can only run the microwave and make cereal, but is willing to learn.
Starter set. Going to college, it doesn't leave much room for equipment. And when I was going to culinary school at Johnson Wales University, we actually were sneaking equipment into our dorm rooms just to play around and have fun. But you can learn the basic foundation cooking of how to fry properly, saute properly, but you're not going to have that stuff in a college situation. So. I think the biggest thing for us, and going back to my college days, was trying to figure out how to make ramen noodles taste better with a lot of vegetables in it and try to get more nutrition out of it. How to take ramen noodles and turn it into a Italian spaghetti versus like ramen. But
that's probably it.
Yeah. And then what I was doing, it was sneaking alcohol into the dorm rooms and trying to cook with the alcohol in the ramen noodles. But I think that was probably illegal and a felony. And I don't know if I'm getting myself in trouble here, but just having fun and don't burn yourself with that hot plate and that microwave.
It's the ramen.
Yeah, definitely a good starter set. One saute pan, one little sauce pot, and a knife and a cutting board. You should be able to accomplish anything. And definitely learning sauces and stocks first, because you learn any of that stuff, you can make anything.
What would you make? I mean, what are two or three items that you would teach somebody how to make as a basic?
A tomato sauce, a cream sauce,
vinaigrette, probably.
And a vinaigrette for dressings and hollandaise. That's literally, if you can make anything out of eggs, learning how to use eggs and sauces will definitely broaden their horizons, and learning how to make a good red sauce, whether it's a bolognese or a ragu or marinara, and a bechamel, which would be used for like a cream sauce or something like that.
All right, just a couple minutes left. I'd like to get another three-course item on everybody's menu as we finish up. So let's start with three-notched. Actually, you know what? I want to finish with three-notched so that we can mention the beer event for next week. So let's start with Farm Bell, Chef Jabari at Farm Bell Kitchen.
And just one?
Yeah, just one.
I would have to say we are playing around with this new soup that we're trying to introduce, and I would say it's going to probably be our braised brisket soup. And it's basically a tomato-infused broth with pickled radishes and fresh vegetables. We got the idea from – I'm a big Asian fanatic when it comes to that type of food, and they make food out of anything and everything. And they have this braised beef dish soup that was pretty nice. So we kind of did that same variety while sticking in our concept. So you'll see that nice – low country flavor profiles with that soup.
All right, Will from Brasserie Sasson.
Yeah, we're doing a classic Jaeger schnitzel. We're doing crispy fried pork with herbed spätzle, the German noodle, and it's covered with a burgundy mushroom cream sauce, and it is just killer cold weather comfort food.
Matthew from the Clifton.
We're going to do a autumn olive pork belly. Sweet potato, some crispy risotto, brown butter, sage with a zabion. So, should be fun little appetizer.
And Patrick, do yours, and then I have a follow-up question for you.
So we're really quickly doing a really nice local bruschetta using amphog roasted mushrooms with a local goat cheese, and yeah, I think it's going to be really wonderful.
So again, Restaurant Week starts January 19th through the 26th. $29 or $39 purchases. $1 goes to Blue Ridge Area Food Bank. But the following week, there's something going on at Three Notch, right? There's a beer event.
Yeah, so we have this huge beer event at Ixart Park. It's No Good Beer. It's January 26th. It's the fifth annual festival, and it starts at noon.
So, and that's at Ixart Park in downtown Charlottesville.
Correct. That is correct.
Right. Okay. Looks like we have 1 minute left, so time for one last question that I have on here from Lindsay. I like to grow my own herbs, but I don't know the best way to handle the excess. I've been told to try and freeze them in ice cube trays, and someone else suggested drying them in the microwave. Your thoughts, please.
Drying them in the microwave does work, but a dehydrator works, you know, better. And you can, you know, utilize them, you know, grinding them, you know, just having them into a mash, and then, you know, freezing them also works pretty well. But yeah, keep them around year-round. It's great.
Yeah, I grow my own herbs at home as well, and I don't microwave them. I've never actually tried that. Typically, I slice them up, the excess, and I put them out in the sun, let them dry over about 24 hours in the sunlight, about 2 days' worth, and then I just can them up, jar them up.
All right. I want to thank everybody for coming today. I have had General Manager Will Curley from Brasserie Sasson, Chef Matthew Bousquet from the Clifton, Chef Patrick Carroll from Three Notched, and Chef Jabari Wadlington from Farm Bell Kitchen. If you don't get to go to, you can't possibly go everywhere over the 8 days of Restaurant Week, but I hope you will at least support these four who took the time to come to Sunday morning wake-up call. Gentlemen, thank you so much.
This has been the Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call on 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. The Wake-Up Call is brought to you by Tiger Fuel and the markets of Tiger Fuel. Strength is in their fuel. Engineering assistance is from Mike Friend. The Wake-Up Call is produced by Dan Gould. Show archives can be found at SeavillePodcast.com. Be sure and join Rick next Sunday morning for another edition of The Wake-Up Call, only on 94.7 WPVC. We'll be right back.